person in English lesson, do you know the difference between a indicative and an imperative? There's one person knows the difference. Yes, two?
Just a statement.
An imperative is like a command. Okay. An indicative is the Bible's on the desk. The Bible is on the lecture. That's what it is. And an imperative is, put the Bible on the desk. Now, if I tell you to put the Bible on the desk, you can't do it. What do you mean I can't do it? It's already on the desk. Okay. Now, one of the difficulties in Christianity, we try to make commands out of indicatives. Things that are just so. They already are. For the verse, the scripture, you'll find that bilingual. I quote King James, I read NIV. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. The first half a sentence, first part of that sentence. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Indicative or imperative? Indicative part. Indicative. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. Now, Casey will hear some teacher, preacher, telling the people that to be crucified with Christ. Can't be done. Can't be done. It's done. It is. Okay. Now, there's another word for the indicative, and that is being. Is there a difference between being and doing? None of these questions are, I am not going to pull trick questions like these. And these aren't tests, but I want you to think, and of course you don't have to answer, but there is a difference between being and doing. God is love. Is that what he being is? Okay, that's an indicative statement. God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's an action statement. God is love. God loved. That's what he is. That's what he did. Okay? We do out of what we are. Is that right? Okay. Now, then, when it comes to Christianity, we want to be. We want to be, and then we don't have to worry about what we do. Now, the subject today is holiness and righteousness. And I've jumped ahead of myself, but the scripture says, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's a be command. Well, I say, how do I do it? Can't do it. Just got to be it. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy in all you do. You do out of what you are. Sometimes we get stuck in a place and we know that our inside is filled with crud. We're just cruddy. And we're in a situation where you got to be nice. So you fake it. You don't dare do what you are, because if you did what you are, everybody would be cruddy. Say, in the Christian life, we'll get into seemingly more practical. We want to be righteous and we want to be holy. We want to be righteous and we want to be holy. You say, well, how do I do it? Well, we're going to get more into this when it comes to the business of obedience. The prayer of Zechariah, in Luke 1:75, he's found out, well, praying, verse 67, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. And then he comes out with this poetry. The first half is about Jesus, and the second half is about John the Baptist. And in the middle of this prayer, he says, he said through the holy prophets of long ago, salvation for our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Zechariah was prophesying about the baby Jesus. He was to enable us to serve him in holiness and righteousness all our days. God enables us to serve him in holiness and righteousness all our days. Most of us draw our view of Christian living based upon our past. Now, if we view our future based upon our history, what kind of future are we going to have? Okay. But nevertheless, we still do it. There's a verse, again, we'll get into this in 2 Peter 1, 3, I think. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. True or false? Okay. You don't dare say false. You don't dare say false. And you don't want to say true. Because his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Okay. Thank God. Everything we need for life and godliness. To be like the Lord Jesus. There's a difference between righteousness and holiness. This is, I'm not a Greek scholar, so you can go check and come back and tell me I messed it up. But righteousness, in contextual, is the same as the word just. Being justified by faith, in Romans 5:1, justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Okay, the word justified is, we can just as well say, since we've been made righteous by faith, we have peace with God. They are synonyms. I mean, sometimes it's translated just, sometimes it's translated righteous. But anyhow, it's something that is given to us. In Romans 1, 17, it says, the righteousness that comes from God. When I receive Christ, I receive a righteousness from God. Romans 3, righteousness from God. Romans 10, righteousness from God. We receive his righteousness. We are made clean. We are justified. To justify somebody is to make something just that is unjust. To if I anything is to make it, to rectify is to make it straight when it was crooked. To justify is to make something unjust just. We are made righteous. He takes our unrighteousness and makes us righteous. Holiness is a little bit different. They have the same qualities in terms of purity. I had an older brother. When we were kids, we'd go out and play. And this older brother of mine was a neat-knit. He could play without getting dirty. I couldn't do anything without getting dirty. I didn't know who Pigpen was, but I fit Pigpen. I attracted dirt. So we'd come home, I'd get the bath. He would get the bath. He wasn't dirty. I was being made righteous, he was holy. The difference is, holiness doesn't get dirty. Righteousness takes something dirty and makes it clean. See the difference? Holiness and righteousness, being made clean and staying clean. So once the Bible speaks of holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. There's no dirt in heaven. You can't bring it in. But both of these are given to us by God. First, we're made righteous. He tells us to be holy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I hope, no, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Touch not the unclean thing. Don't touch it. You see it in 1 Thessalonians 4, I hope. Verse 3, it is God's will that you should be holy. You want to know the will of God? Be holy. Now, if you're holy, do you have to wonder about what you're going to do? No. You would do out of what you are. Do out of what you are. And then he tells us how to be holy. It says that you should avoid sexual immorality. Don't touch it. Avoiding sin is holy. You say, how do I do that? Look at my friends. Do I stay away from my friends? Oh, I want to lay it on heavy that God did not save us so that we could sin. We can sin. We can sin. We know that because he tells us to confess our sins. He says, and don't do it. So it must be possible to do it, or he wouldn't tell us not to. But we shouldn't walk around with a view that says, well, nobody's perfect. Well, we can't be perfect anyhow. Now, where do we get that piece of theology? From our own life and all of our friends' life. We don't get it from the book. It does tell us that God takes care of sin, and we'll talk about that next week, or Thursday. But he says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now you say, well, does perfect mean perfect? I don't know. But whatever it is, it's just like your Father in heaven is. Whatever it is, we'll talk about this later on obedience, but the best way of learning anything is imitation. We all speak English because we imitate it. Study is a way, but imitation is the best way. Do you know who the Bible says to imitate? Ephesians 5:1 says, imitate God. Imitate God. And he said to the Corinthians, I want you to imitate me. But I'm not around, so I'm going to send you Timothy. You imitate Timothy. He'll remind you my way of life, which agrees with my teaching. Later on, he says, imitate me as I imitate Jesus. The best way of learning is imitation. The best way of learning holiness is imitate the unholy. Jesus, God, the Apostle Paul, if he is. Or find somebody living to imitate and follow them around and copy. Another way is imitate dead people. Well, we die first. No. I read biographies. I read other things too, but one of the reasons I read biographies is because my first 9 years as a Christian was on active duty in the United States Navy. Who do I imitate to be like Jesus? Came across a bookstore in Hong Kong. I didn't know there was such a thing as a Christian book. Maybe one or two. And I bought biographies. I bought C.T. Studd and David Brainerd and George Mueller. And I began to imitate people who are no longer living. Now, I didn't do a very good job, but I kept plugging at it. Now, here is a problem. We'll mention this probably later on. But all of you know here in, this is not a public school, not a government school. I assume most of you, in fact, I recognize all but two names here, so I know your parents. I had a reason for saying that. Oh, Light Frost. From there away. Speaking of that, speaking of Light Frost, new subject. Jeremiah's mother wrote a book. Any of you know that she wrote a book? Okay. Have any of you read it? Have you read it? Is it a good book? Remarkably good book. Delightful book. You can learn everything you want to know about Jeremiah. When he wasn't as likable as he is now. But anyhow, that's stretching. But anyhow, yeah, that's an imitation. I said I read biographies. And I encourage that. To imitate people. Oh, I know where I was going to go. How to get there, I don't know. But in this class in previous years, we all know who the godliest kids in school are. Is that true? Or they may be faking, they may be hypocrites, but as far as you know, we have a sense. I'm not going to ask you who they are, but do you know there are people that you respect very much here in this school? Boys and girls, both, okay. And then you know people that you respect, but not as much as these guys up here, right? And then you know these people that are above average, right? And then you know the normal people. And then you know the subnormal people. And then you know the cool kids. I want an honest answer from everybody. Who imitates the highest here? Who gets imitated most? These people or the cool kids? Cool, what? The cool kids. That makes no sense at all. Makes no sense at all. And the cool kids are doing this to get imitated. Is that a true statement? I've been asked that, well, I haven't taught this for several years, but I get that answer every time. That you guys are intelligent. How you can be intelligent and dumb at the same time, I don't know. Okay. You see, but I mean, if I imitate this godly guy, whoever he is, he seems to just be godly normally. But I wouldn't be normal. And I'd get a reputation of being goody-goody. Is that a possibility? Okay. And nobody wants to be a goody-goody. And we're afraid we might. I asked one kid years ago. I said, do you want to be godly? And then he named some kid here at the school. He said, it's like so-and-so, no. Oh, I suppose that has nothing to do with so-and-so. Suppose it's God's view of godliness. Do you want to be godly? In God's view. Oh, yeah, because I have to think about that. Me? No. I'd lose my friends if I was godly. Okay. The scripture says it. God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Be holy, for I am holy. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven, which is heaven, is perfect. Imitate God. Ephesians 5:1. I say righteousness comes from God, holiness comes from God, but there's a participation on our part. That's why I asked this kid if he wanted to be godly. Well, he didn't want to be godly. He didn't want to say he didn't want to be godly. Now, the other problem is with godliness, holiness, we think of it as a bunch of things we do not do. And it might include that. But being, not doing or not doing, is being. But it might include not doing. And you see, if I really get godly, it might mean I gotta be careful what movies I watch, what books I read. And I'd just as soon be ignorant of that, and therefore I can play dumb and say, well, I didn't know. Or I'll let my father and mother lead the rules. And so I can know where the boundaries are. And yeah, you can do it that way. You can lay. But that is, in many cases, called legalism. And God, Jesus, blasts the Pharisees for legalism, things they didn't do. Paul blasted the legalists. And he's talking about something else other than the do's and don'ts. I'm getting ahead of myself. I say when we get to obedience, we'll talk about this again, but I'll give you a faint idea, and we may go in detail later. Let's say, supposedly, you have somebody over here who drank wine and went to parties. Somebody over here wouldn't touch wine with a 40-foot pole. What would this guy normally have to do with this guy? I mean, would they be normally close buddies, friends? They normally would not. Okay, this person was named Jesus, and this was named John the Baptist. And Jesus said, there's not a man born of woman greater than John. And Jesus and John said, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. This one did, and this one didn't. The one who didn't was not a legalist. If he is a legalist, he would have told those Roman soldiers to get out of that Roman army. He didn't tell them. He said, be content with your wages. And Jesus wasn't licentious. So it wasn't doing or not doing. It was being. I don't think I'm a legalist. We never had rules in our house for the kids. I won't say never had any rules. But we made a distinction between the rules. There's a rule that said you shall not lie. Another rule that said you don't jump on the couch. One was a house rule and one was God's rule. We kept the house rules to a minimum because we knew the nature of kids, people, is to do what they're told not to do. If I tell Johnny to touch Susie's doll, what does that mean to Johnny? Why are you smiling? Oh, yeah. He hears, touch it, touch it, touch it. And he never thought of touching the dumb doll before until he was told not to do it. It's the nature of sin to rebel. But you're Christians, and that nature has changed, so you should have a nature to obey. And now you might come up with, but Romans 5:20 says, the law was given to increase the trespass. The Ten Commandments were given to increase sin. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. God gave the Ten Commandments because he knew people would do opposite to what he said. That was their nature. He gave the Ten Commandments to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. You weren't going to be saved by obeying the Ten Commandments anyhow. You're going to be saved by being forgiven for your disobedience. We kept the commandments to a minimum. But by example, I don't do anything. Think of all the things that you might say, Well, I don't do that, but not because prohibited, just because. And because I don't do some of these things, I do not make rules that say other people don't do them. So being wanting to be like Jesus may mean drinking wine and may not mean drinking wine. We've covered quite a bit of material this morning. Everything from Sweet Rosie O'Grady to how good is the God we adore. I want you to keep this in mind, that all of your life is going to be made up of being like Jesus or not being like Jesus. You're going to be a witness for Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, now you may have come to the conclusion you're not a Christian the last 2 sessions. But if you're a Christian, you are a witness for Jesus Christ, even if you never open your mouth about it. You either look like Jesus or you don't look like Jesus. You are a good witness or a poor witness. There isn't any other kind of person. You say, but what about all us neutral people, all of us normal people, not these godly ones and not these cool kids? Sorry. Here's a suggestion. Outdo your father's requirements on prohibitions that he has. Okay. Now, I don't want you to become a self-imposed legalist, but just in terms of consider it, that these rules are not the end all. God gave you fathers and mothers for this, but there's a kid here years ago. Many years ago, who in PE, if he cheated on the push-ups, he'd force himself to do 10 more. He felt guilty about everything. Guilty, 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 guilty. But he just lived in perpetual guilt. Well, that's, you don't want that. You want to be forgiven. We'll talk about that Thursday. We want to be forgiven, not live in guilt. I received a letter this last week that had a list of sins this long, and it had everything in it except murder. It was written from prison, thanking me for being a father, and standing. But the problem was, now this person's living in remorse, living in regret. God does not want us ever to live in remorse or regret. When he forgives us, regret disappears, remorse disappears. So this long list of sins, forgiven. You don't live in it the rest of your life. Forgiven. That's called righteousness from God. So we get more on that. I'm jumping ahead on quite a few things. But I want you to think in terms of those words, righteousness and holiness. Imitate God, imitate Jesus, imitate people who are imitating Jesus. You say, well, what do? Follow them around? Fine. The other way is, when you find something in the Scripture, don't explain it. Just do it. Just be it. Do it. Any comments, any questions? And this ought to be a godly group. No rebellion. Yes.
Hey. I'm reading about the early church, the right after Christ. And when they were struggling with persecution and not being accepted and trying to spread the gospel, the church was thriving. And then as soon as everyone accepted it, and then they start debating about doctrine, it kind of died down. And so I just thought that was kind of funny. As soon as they start looking in at the church instead of looking out at
Thank you. That's right. But it doesn't have to be. You see in the 10th chapter of Acts, when there was peace, it still multiplied. It multiplied when there's persecution, multiplied when there's peace. But later on, you're right, it just had to fight with each other, had to fight with somebody. So. Now this godly kid in school won't understand when you say, can I follow you? Well, it'll be easier to understand if it's the same sex. Mark, I'll pick him out and say, I'm going to follow you. Let's thank God. Father, thank you very much for this time. We pray to be a blessing to each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.